Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, many things are brewing. But first, because we are community radio, got a note from Eric Ferry going, "Hello, Caroline, here's a tickler that we will be forever grateful if you'll give our 3/23/24 Berkeley Gaza Artist Solidarity event at the Starry Plow Pub some love on your show this week." We will. And here it is. You can find out more at www.we-gaza.com. Many, many great links. So it's an afternoon to celebrate and support the artists of Gaza, music, food, Gazan videos, conversation, art display. It will be at the Starry Plow, Saturday, March 23rd, 1 to 5 p.m., starryplow.com. We All Live in Gaza documentary. Also, many things at their website. Again, wegaza.com, we-gaza.com. We All Live in Gaza documentary. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Also, Amichaela Gaston and I will be doing a Zoom event by donation, anything, on Tuesday, March 19th at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can find out more about that, and you can register at coyotenetworknews.com. But it's aligning with the green fire. We are rising, aroused, dedicated, and woofy. You can feel it everywhere. Ooh, cease funding now. You know, two-state solution now. Just we're planting these things. We're cooperating with everything. So here we are. So today, it's St. Patrick, Stormy Daniels. We will explain. St. Patrick, Stormy Daniels, Equinox, Eclipse. I kahoot with Sean Patrick O'Donohue as the Celtic Cartoc Gaias with this week's puzzler. Right, so welcome, Sean.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here. And I need to quickly comment on the Starry Plow because that's such a beautiful name. And it's the Irish name for the Great Bear Constellation. And it was also the first flag of the Irish Republic of the liberation struggle. And so it's a very, very fitting place to have a benefit for Gaza, given the long solidarity between the Palestinian people and the Irish people.
Yes, and it's said that the Palestinians are the Irish of the Middle East. Yeah, long, 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 deep cultural connection, right? And I do like saying that the oppressor unconsciously is seeking the magic of what he or she oppresses, right? So England really needed Ireland, you know, and Israel really needs the Palestinian land culture thing. It's like, no, not war, you know, peace, blooming. We want to dream impossible things, necessary miracles. So, yes, so, right. So here we are. Yeah, well, so
and
vice versa.
It's like Ireland needed William Butler Yeats and Lady Gregory and all these other English people who were seeking Irishness as an aid in the vision of dreaming into the world forward. And so may, just as Israel needs Palestine to remember itself, may those within Israel who have clear vision be guiding hearts and guiding minds for Palestinians.
Yes. No, our blessings, all of us, all dedicated listeners, our blessings have molecular effect. You know, we're gathered here to inhale and then spiral forth, you know, tangible blessings as you just did. So I love that Stormy Daniels' birthday is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And I happen to have her chart here. I'm very fond of her. I just want to bring a little bit of her in because it's her case is the only case moving now against Trump, right? Everything else is stalled, but the Stormy Daniels case is moving. And it's like, I knew it from the moment I met her. And I did go to her strip club thing, and it was very liberating. And she did wink at me and then put my head between her bosoms. I'm like, oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. And I did the taboo thing of reaching up to you know, going, whoa. And she was like, no, don't touch. And I'm like, oh, God. I feel bad, you know, but yes. And so, She does have in her chart, March 17th, 1979, 1:10 a.m. in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She does have a yode to her Mercury, which is a crystal gazer. And she's a very occult, interesting person. And so the yode pattern is Saturn dedication to her Mercury, which is a crystal gazer, back to her Moon and Scorpio. All the whistleblowers have Moon and Scorpio, right? Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, let's see him free, let's see them all free, let's see all that. And Stormy has a Saturn quintile Uranus, dedication leads to democracy and freedom, and we go, that's great. Her Pluto degree is Robin Hood, and her series, her dwarf planet, is Aviator, Master of the High Realm, sails across the sky, setting in motion projects that will, benefit the next seven generations. Go, Stormy! Go, Stormy! And then I want to hand St. Patrick to you in a moment, but I love the apocryphal story, and so many stories are, but that St. Patrick is invited to a wine testing dinner, and he's given a cup of poisoned wine. And so what he does, here is the trickster part of all of us, he holds the poisoned wine up to the light. The poison rises to the top like froth on a Guinness. He blows it off, whoa, and quaffs the drink, and toasts everyone, including those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go, a real initiate. And I love this story. We've all been given a poisoned cup of wine. And note what he doesn't do. He doesn't drink it, and he doesn't go, oh, I hate poisoned wine. No, he transforms it, all right? And this is very Stormy, too. He holds it up to the light, he blows off the froth, he drinks it and toasts everyone. So it's a trickster thing, and it comes March 17th, we've all been given a poisoned cup of wine, and it's a time of kind of cleansing and so let's just hold it up to the light and blow it off and toast everyone. And what you were saying about the liberating qualities to and fro, yes, we love these complexities, and what you said reminded me of the Mayans. Bishop Landa, a terrible person, burned many of the Mayan libraries, but then had a change of heart, and he began to pull books out of the fire that he'd set, and those are the only Mayan books we have left, is what the evil and then redeemed slightly Bishop Landa pulled out. And then just one more thing, and then we can toss it lots of places, but just the quirkiness. In Egypt, we draw on all mythologies. The chariot, the myth is, the chariot of the sun, the horses had broken loose and were galloping towards the earth, and the earth was in danger of conflagration, and all the gods go to all the other gods and go, can you help us? No, no, we can't. And then all they have to turn to is Set, who's the kind of bad guy, right? And they go to Set, and they go, can you save the earth from this conflagration? Can you, corral the horses plummeting towards the earth? And he's like, yeah, sure thing, no problem. And I like this, mm-hmm. that, don't think anybody could be helped. There could be change of minds. Even Chuck Schumer, you had something to say about, yes. Chuck Schumer. So,
yes.
Set. Okay.
So he came out this morning calling for Netanyahu to be taken out of office, saying that Israel should no longer be led by bigots who don't have the interests of peace in mind, and that Netanyahu's regime needs to end and Israel needs a course correction. And while he did, many were disappointed, and I was too, that he stopped short of calling for a ceasefire, it was still a very, very strong statement from the least expected quarter, and I think gives cover also for others to begin speaking out more strongly, because he is the highest ranking Jewish official in United States history.
And Bernie for a while now, everybody came late, but Bernie is ardent and going, we don't need more laws. We have two laws on the books for not selling, not giving any more weapons to Israel. Let's do this. And it was his staff, a wonderful staff, who month and a half ago, changed his mind, going, oh, yeah, okay. So for all of us, we might go, no, it's so late. And it's like, yes, yes, but we're opening portals, and we're opening portals today, and we're opening portals on the vernal equinox, and we go, it's the tide. It's the equinoctial tide. It's the green fire, you know, in which we are rising, aroused, dedicated, and woofy. We'll have more to say about the vernal equinox and all. But yes, but let's have Stormy Daniels and St. Patrick dancing. Anything you want to bring up about St. Patrick? Here we go.
Well, as long as we're calling in Stormy Daniels on his day, we should remember that at sunset on the 17th, it becomes St. Sheila's Day. And there's very little known about her. She was mostly forgotten in Ireland until very recently, but remembered in Newfoundland, where snow after St. Patrick's Day is called Sheila's Blush. So there we have the storm herself coming in to bring a blush to the land, a rush of life, a stirring of the blood. And then we can connect Sheila also with the Sheila na Gig, and that figure who is the potent, fertile, strong feminine presence over the entrance of so many heretical churches in the west of Ireland. And so, thinking of Padraig and Sheila dancing, or rather Padraig and Stormy dancing, I think of Padraig and Sheila dancing as well. And that bringing of the masculine and feminine and all else that is into the weaving dance together, the reunification.
Yeah, it's part of the theme we've been tracking together, too, which is the diaspora, whoosh, and then the word I made up, the simspora, coming back together. And it's that quality of, like, exhale, whoosh, inhale. One of the earliest meditations that is useful, especially if you're tripping, right, is to imagine inhaling the universe and exhaling the universe. Right. And then if you do that, you begin to undulate. It's just natural. It's like, ooh. And as I did so long ago when doing this exercise, I go, ooh, this is like giving birth. This is like being born. This is like Middle Eastern dancing. Okay. So the inhale and the exhale. And I've been so in love with the NASA scientist's radio interview. She's been doing work on the origins of the moon. And she said, what we currently think is there was a planetary or a body in space that we didn't have a word for, so we called it Synestia after the goddess Vesta, because it was to be our future home. And she said this thing was shaped like a bow tie, like, woo, and then there was an impact. And the impact created the moon inside the future Earth, and the moon was rotating inside the Earth. Right? And then there's another, strike, and the moon emerges. And so this NASA scientist, it's like a myth and science are so good together. She said that the Earth and the moon are twins. And then she went into why, the moon isn't fertile and all, but they're twins, and they were once one thing. And so at an eclipse, which is April 8th, which is wonderful, it's like the thing that was one that went into two becomes one again. And I think that's part of our, why we're so moved energetically by an eclipse. Like, it's just emotional. What was one became many is one again. And that's a theme that we're tracking, right? So yes, back to you and St. Patrick, because you're giving a St. Patrick talk this Sunday. Feel free to tout yourself.
Yes. Well, and I just want to briefly speak to the moon for a second as we spiral into this and say that it's interesting that we, in a conventional sense, think of the moon as not fertile, and yet the fertility of everything on Earth is so very connected with the moon. And so what beautiful paradox is woven in that, and the ways that all of the community is involved in calling forth life. All of the community of beings is involved in calling forth life. And
Right.
so, yeah. And
And
when
just
I think of,
just interjecting,
go ahead.
because yes, without the moon, we would have no seasons, no tides, and no surfing. All right, back to you.
Well, in surfing, surfing comes with Mananon, the son of the great sea of being, whose white horses are the white-capped waves crashing onto the shore that rise up in response to the moon herself. And I learned from my sister a new word in Irish last night that connects with what I will be teaching about this weekend, which is such a beautiful word to me. It's Spervan, Sky Woman. And the Sky Woman is the woman who you see when the magical mist clears, and she is there weeping for the land and weeping for the people and singing her song to the poet, which the poet must then bring forward in the tradition of Aisling poetry, of the dream poetry, of the visionary poetry that began in the 17th century but had echoes further back, which is that the Irish poet seeing the land herself as a woman who is in mourning, who appears in the sky beyond that mist, and who brings the message that he must bring forward. And so, what I'm interested in spiraling into is this was so much the poetry and the vision and the mythos of national liberation in Ireland for centuries, and examples of it echo like into the late 20th century. But now that it is the earth herself everywhere, and all of the earth's children who are in peril and in sorrow, how can we call upon the Aishlings of our own time, the visionary dreams of our own time, and the poetry that comes forward to open hearts and turn hearts?
And then just to chime in, like where we are right this second, the guiding astro choreography, the moon is exalted in Taurus, right next to Uranus and Jupiter. So a wonderful thing tonight, the dogs dragged me outside going, turn off that television, put down your phone, and come outside. I'm like, you have the higher spiritual, mythological, moral authority? Of course I will. And then I go, oh, the moon and Jupiter, look at them, the real news, the real news. And right now, the moon exalted in Taurus has a beautiful relationship to Neptune. So the backstage music and the myth are eager to incarnate into sensual actuality. Ooh, so yeah, and we go, oh, it's very beautiful. Okay, let's do that. And the sun's degree is about purging out corrupt clergy. And we go, oh, always a good idea.
Whoa.
Do you have some nominees?
Oh yes, I do.
Oh,
And
good. Okay.
there are two themes that really come forward. And the first is with purging out corrupt clergy. I feel like so many of us who grew up Irish Catholic in the United States or Irish Catholic in Ireland, have this sense of the church and the sense of its vision and a sense of what Padraic meant, shaped by a corrupt clergy and a corrupt institution. But the beautiful complexity is that what was called Christianity in Ireland before the time of the Great Hunger, before the trauma that made people turn towards authority, was something far wilder and far more liberated, and in which women were involved, and which there was not necessarily the distinction of the prohibition on also practicing and believing in older things, especially if you lived far from the center of the diocese. And Padraic himself established a married priesthood and a church that involved women. And all of the shaming and all of the guilt that we associate with what we think of as Irish American Catholicism really comes after the Great Hunger and is what happens with traumatized people. Fundamentalism follows trauma over and over again in history. But then I'm thinking also, and this relates in its own way, when you speak of the moon exalted in Taurus, and I think of the bull, and I think about if we think of the moon as Sperwan, as that sky woman, who would be the woman in the sky who's exalted with the bull? It would be Queen Maeve, the fierce but also sweet spirit of the land and Connacht, whose kiss is the taste of the mead and whose breath and presence are sweet intoxication. And in her story, told by in a somewhat distorted way by the Christian monks in the 10th century in the great Irish epic The Táin, the Cattle Raid of Cooley, she speaks in early on of how the man who will be beside her, the man who will be exalted with her, the bull who will be exalted with her, in a sense. And the whole story is about retrieving the holy bull in order to restore her to her fully exalted state. Must not be jealous because she will be loved by all who meet her. Must be strong because she is strong too. Must be skilled because she is many skilled, and because she is the one who can step in where fighting is happening and bring an end to the fighting. And so she is that spirit of the land who is also this embodied queen who insists on being met fully and insists on that true shining of true virtue in whoever would be beside her. And so I think we restore Padraic to virtue, to we restore Padraic to his fullness when we restore Sheila to the dance as well.
And say that again. We restore what to the wait, say it again. We restore what?
And so I think when we think of Patrick as the spirit of Ireland, there's something missing. And what's missing is that tradition of the strong women, be it Sheila, be it Bridget, be it Maeve, all these strong women who are the ones who stand beside inequality, the strong men of Ireland, and call them into shared strength.
Yes, brave Queen Maeve. And we're syncretizing is a sacrament. And back to Stormy Daniels, her birthday's on St. Patrick's Day. Her Chiron, the mentor, is at 6 plus Taurus, whose image is the woman of Samaria at the ancestral well, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. And it's a very important degree in American history. And it reminds us it is for us to animate the desirable quality of the metaphors so generously bestowed to us, lest we leave it by default to the Dementors. So the first 9/11 in this country was September 11th, I think it's 1857, when the Mormons dressed up as Indians and attacked a settler wagon train, and then said to the settlers, "Oh, we see you're out of water. Here, we will give you a white flag truce in which you can have, you know, resupply with water. And the settlers were like, thank you very much, thank you very much. And they went to get water, and the Mormons killed them all. And Pluto was at 6 Taurus. And we go, no, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. No, not like the Israelis, you know, shooting people trying to get water and food. No. That hums. We want to compost that. May that be eclipsed. You know, we get to work with the eclipse metaphor, too. May that be eclipsed. So I just wanted to bring in the woman of Samaria is also here, and we put Brave Queen Maeve behind Stormy Daniels, meaning just for all of us, you know, there is our normal selves, you know, and our mythic selves through which qualities, you know, pour through us, and we encourage that. That's why it amuses me to honor Stormy Daniels. So there's, yeah, so St. Patrick and Stormy, that's good. And it's become silly, right? I mean, I know at my local Irish pub, they're like, oh no, St. Patrick's Day, green beer, oh, it's just a nightmare, just stay home. You know, so there is that quality. But how do you think, well, these wonderful pieces of profound whimsy from Celtic culture, I love the phrase, the little bit of alcohol that evaporates when you're making whiskey is called the angel's share, and I just love that. You know, it's the angel's sip that is missing, and so it's always this to and fro between the angel's share, the invisible backstage, the blessing, and the incarnational sacrament of being here, you know, embodied, and it's strong that way. So we have, if we are the Car Talk Gaias, because that's the best radio show ever in America. Did you ever listen to the Car Talk Gaias?
Oh, yes, I loved it so much. And I don't know steering column from a carburetor, but I loved listening to them every week.
it didn't matter. They were so conversationally accessible and jaunty on the radio. You know, once when their mother called in and was like, are you still smoking tobacco? Are you still smoking cigars? We'll come back to this after the break because you have a great way to guide people with plants and smoking. You know, and then finally they got rid of her and they were like, oh God, she's like a pebble in your shoe. I don't know if I have the strength to continue. Anyway, but they were so refreshingly candid. All right, so we aspire to be the Celtic Car Talk Gaias. Right in our dynamic, you know, and we will in some moments have a short break with the Bengtsons and their song "My Joy Is Heavy," which is good, right? Because our joy is heavy. It's a heavy, dangerous time. We want to come back to more danger and more plants helping us, and more about the vernal equinox. And yes, Michaela Gaston and I will be doing something on Zoom on Tuesday the 19th, coyotenetworknews.com. You can find out about that. You know, and our friends at we-gaza.com are doing a great thing at the Starry Plow on Saturday, March 23rd. We'll announce it next week, too, you wonderful lads and lasses. That's March 23rd, 1 to 5 p.m. at the Starry Plow, a most worthy benefit, you know, afternoon to celebrate and support the artists of Gaza. Yes, such great art, such great culture. You know, and again, we want beauty poker. We want beauty from the best parts of all cultures to dance with each other is part of our dynamic, you know, if the gods want to cross borders, but they've only been able to piggyback on the banks of thugs and conquistadors, and we want art and beauty and myth and all of those things. So, yeah, so when we come back, we've got a minute before the break here, but we can go into, tobacco and smoking, because you were so genius guiding me, Sean. and also just to tout our allies, you know, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, whose website is
otherworldwell.com. So we have the waters.
Wonderful things. Well, I'll just slip this in too, which is I loved that when you said that when people come to you and go, I want to quit smoking, and you go, slow down, go away and think of your three most important cigarettes, you know? And then, you know, when you smoke, think that tobacco is a protector. And then we make a smoking mixture. We'll come back to this too. I love my smoking mixture. It's rose petals and it's mugwort and holy basil, right? And you just begin to do that and just then a little less and less tobacco and a little bit of cannabis perhaps, you know? And you said that when if people smoke mugwort with cannabis, it allows you to retain your insights, right?
Yes, to bring them
Yes. Okay, we're gonna
back down from the heavens. Yes.
keep that thought. We're gonna go to the Bengtsons, a worthy musical break. My joy is heavy, 'cause that seems like us now. Here we go, the Bengtsons. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's the Bengtsons. My joy is heavy. It seems apt. Our joy is heavy. But I do remember so long ago in Syria with wonderful Deborah Falmouth, and we went to the Palestinian refugee camps, and the splendid, splendid UNRWA people, the splendid, wonderful, wonderful UNRWA people, and met this vital 96-year-old Palestinian woman who the call to prayer came on, and she was up and dancing. To celebrate the divine. And she said, you know, way back, this is decades, a decade and a half ago, but she said, you know, we don't want activists deriving status from our suffering. You know, we want, you know, music and poetry and support and uplift, you know, and food and water. You know, we want those things, but we want that joy. And I hope that to that brief, my joy is heavy from the Bengtsons, that people were moving, right? Because it's like moving.
Yes.
We're aligning with the green fire of the equinox. You know, it's woofy, it's animal.
Yes.
It's, you know, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And a wonderful thing with the language of that song about my joy is heavy and about carrying it is it actually spirals back to the Irish language in a really interesting way. Because in Irish, when you're to say that I to speak of happiness, you wouldn't say I am happy. You would say Ta ahas orim, joy is upon me. And
oh,
so your
lovely.
Emotion is something that's upon you and that you are carrying and can carry yourself and also can carry with others. It could be it could be happiness is upon us, and then we're carrying happiness together. Or it could be sorrow is upon us, and then we're carrying
yes.
sorrow together.
Yes.
And in the same way, we don't own things. Things are toward us, and we are toward them.
Right. Grief is upon us. And it is in the field. You know, again, anything in the dream field, it's like even if people, some, not nobody listening here, aspire to be oblivious, right? It's still there. It's a theme I've been working for years, which is third world realities are first world illnesses. And it was just from, working with so many anorexic young women. And they, yes, mother issues, image issues, culture issues, but all of them had a deep psychic connection to what was going on in the world. And they were embodying the discrepancy. I'm like, oh, well, okay. So we're all affected, and grief expressed with artfulness, becomes a sacrament of kinship, and so delighted that the Starry Plow, will be hosting the afternoon to celebrate and support the artists, the Venus of Gaza, with music, food, Gazan videos, conversation, and display and sale. And that is, again, just a community more, there you go, Eric, March 23rd, 1 to 5 p.m. at the Starry Plow. I would be there. Well, I will be there telepathically. Let's put it that way. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
We raise the banner of the Starry Plow and hope that the North Star will guide us all to peace and freedom.
Indeed, indeed. May it be so. And Ashe, may the words spoken incarnate into actuality. All cultures have this, the words into matter. Again, language, one of the great original technologies of participation, right? And I was saying to you the actual vernal equinox for all of us, wherever we be, although Emma Kalagast and I are doing an event on March 19th, coyotenetworknews.com, for more information. But for all of us, on March 19th at 8:07 p.m. West Coast, 11:07 East Coast, will be the exact vernal equinox. And the moon will be overhead at 3 degrees of Leo for everybody, whose image is a deer with folded horns dressed as a man. There we go. Anyway, I thought I would toss that to yourself, just because it's like, all right, it's the gathering of all of us, our mythic selves, and all of us as a composite of all the plants and animals that we love, and we're weaving our cloak of participation with backup and spiraling it forth. But the deer with folded horns, does that hum to you at all, Sean?
It does, deeply. And it calls to mind for me the first of the songs of Amargin. So Amargin was the poet who sang Ireland into being. He came from Galicia in Spain with the first speakers of the language that's now Irish. And the Tuatha Dé, the tribe of the gods, who were the people living, the shining ones living on the land, had sung up a storm to drive back the coming ships. But when Amargin stood upon the prow of the ship and spoke his full knowledge and memory of who he was, which is the knowledge and the memory of the kinship with everything, then the storm relented, and the ship came to shore, and the hawthorn blossomed. The blossoming of the hawthorn signaled the coming of another world. And then he sang up the fish-rich sea, and he sang up the deep forest, and he sang up the plentiful fields. But first he sang, I am the stag of seven battles. I have been the hawk above the cliffs at Achill. I have been the salmon in the pool. And so in speaking that memory, speaking that kinship, which is the being revealing the antlers of the deer folded into the man, that was how he called to the land. That was how he calmed the storm. And that was how he showed that he understood the rhythm in which all things are woven, and that he could add his voice to reweave things. And in Irish, the way of saying something is faded is Tashe Anan. It is in a poem. But if you understand the language and the cadence and the flow of the poem, you can write a new poem, Scríobh Dan Nua.
Yes, for all of us. And the moon will be opposing Pluto on the vernal equinox. And the community that honors the unique creativity of all of its individuals, and this principle of equality of humans, equal you know, with the land and equal with our kin and equal Mars and Venus. And, you know, all of that is, that's the transit that the chart of Israel, I don't know. I mean, countries do have charts, right? But I think it's deeper than that. You know, Uranus in the sky, nature's evolutionary trickster genius that insists on freedom and equality, is transiting the Sun of Israel, S-U-N of Israel. It began in August, September. It continues this spring. It goes on end of 2024 into 20. It's long. And I think it's everywhere, right? Anything anywhere is everywhere. It's like, all right, humans must wed the land. This is dear to your heart and your teaching everywhere in all the myths. The humans must wed, must humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. And that's a crucial over and over dynamic. Let me feed you. I'll toss that to you to come back to. But also on the equinox, Jupiter will have changed degrees. It will be at 14 degrees Taurus. I love that degree. Whose image is in the midst of a wild storm, a stranger walks into town wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the doctor, magician, collaborator with natural forces. Ooh. And that's something in Israel's chart. There is a powerful, positive, ganja-smoking, you know, animism in there, you know, and a goodness in there that we want to draw forth to compost the vituperative poison of cruelty. Right. So when I said that to you, you go, oh, well, that's the stranger walking into town in the midst of a wild windstorm. That's, you said.
That's Mononahan. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And so spiraling into that, I will say, yes, nations have charts, but I imagine that the land and the water and the sky all move through every degree of every sign in every moment, in their own ways, or rather are born again in every moment, so contain every chart in a sense. And Mononahan comes from that vastness. Mononahan Maklir, Mononahan, son of the great sea of being, who was older than anyone knew. Only the Kayak was as old as he was. She is older than bones and older than the mountains that are older than bones. And he is as old as the sea. And they were beloveds of each other once. And have danced all across history trying to find their reunion. But it was Mononahan who, when the Irish wove the cloak of mist that hid the retreat of the Shining Ones into the other world, bringing with them the magic that was essential to the world's wholeness. But he would return again and again to walk among the humans, and very often when he was walking among humans, he would come into town acting in outlandish ways, dressed in outlandish clothes, and those who were wise enough to welcome him and whose hearts were open enough to welcome him would be given his gift of poetry and song and vision, and that vision that's held within the silver branch, which when you grasp it in your hands, you can see that this world and the other world are one. You can see into the waters of the well in the other world, where all our rivers have their source. And when you shake it, you can hear the silver bells of the music of all of creation. So he comes out of the storm, arriving as the strange man with outlandish ways and outlandish clothing, who, if you are willing to embrace this strange wandering fool, can show you the secrets of everything.
It's all very alive. And I want to tout you further if we go back also to, you know, everything's trying to help us. And so what's called the north and south nodes of the moon, and it's how we time eclipses and how, you know, ancient astronomer, astrologers, one thing would go, oh, eclipse is coming, as the north and south nodes of the moon, where the moon crosses the sun's path. But it's thought that the south node, according to my wonderful astro ally, Sylvia Hanley, the south node is what we already know how to do. And the south node for all of us is at 15 Libra, which is a boat dock wrecked by storms is getting repaired, rebuilding the entire world. It's like, we already know how to do this. And it's got this wonderful connection, the Libra cultural Venus to the Taurus, Uranus and Jupiter, animistic, you know. And so for each of us to pledge to be cultural influences, agents of what we love in nature is available. We go, right. But we already know how to do it. And that's what we're gathering, you know, to be cultured is to be aware of the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time, said Matthew Arnold. You know, and I always like to say, and slime mold and the highest possibility of wolves and let's throw speciesism. Right. I know we've been in cahoots on this, Sean. Let's throw speciesism and the sneaky forms of speciesism and specialness of all kinds. No special people, no special species, all equal. Speciesism into the cauldron. We have a Pluto cauldron. We have an eclipse cauldron. You know, many things. But back to smoking, right? So all the planets want to help us. So Sean does wonderful consults. We might as well let people know, since you're coming into availability. You know, so I do have a fondness for tobacco, not conventional tobacco. You know, but pure tobacco. You know, with no saltpeter and stuff. But still, you know, it's a little tricky. So I go to Sean, and Sean has this wonderful attitude, you know, don't rush it. Go thank it and think about, you know, the two most important cigarettes and that tobacco is a protector, which it is. It is. You know, and Maria Sabina said tobacco dissipated the demons of bad gossip. So I love people in smoke-filled rooms trying to dissipate what they're generating, right? So it's like, oh. And so you said, you know, thank it. And then, you know, you came up with my wonderful smoking mixture, which is great, which is rose petals, holy basil, and mugwort. And do you want to say any more about you offering to people, you know, a consult on customized smoking mixtures and the relationship of mugwort and cannabis?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So I should first of all give true credit where credit is due, that the idea of asking about those most important cigarettes and turning them into ritual came from the brilliant druid and naturopath and chemist and mad scientist, Dr. Kenneth Perfrock, who is one of my clinical heroes and a friend and inspiration. But yes, and it was from Tommy Priester that I learned the idea of creating a blend of herbs that someone can smoke while they are decreasing the degree of tobacco, because tobacco is a beautiful protector and is a plant of prayer and blessing. But if we don't understand that we're praying for protection and we don't understand what other prayers we're offering, then we can fall out of ritual and into habit. And so in calling in other plants to become part of that symphony, we resensitize the person to the fact that they are in relation with plants. And also we reach for, well, what are you reaching for in that moment, and what else can help to bring you there? Mm-hmm. And mugwort is this wonderful liminal plant, you know, grows in the border places, it grows in hedgerows, it grows at roadsides, wherever the wild is trying to extend back toward us, and wherever we are pushing up against the wild, that's where mugwort grows. And mugwort is also this liminal plant in terms of our consciousness. In Irish, one of its names is Mangach Meshka, the intoxication of the hedge. And so it can be the intoxication of the hedge that brings us across the hedge into otherworldly vision. But I learned from Matthew Wood that it also, when we spend most of our time in the other realms, it can be the plant that helps to bring us back into this realm. And so I've found that with people whose creativity is awakened by cannabis, but who find that when they are back with their feet on the ground, they can't remember what those visions were, and so they never were able to bring them into reality, that mixing a little bit of mugwort in with the cannabis will allow the songs and the paintings and the sculptures and the dances and the poetry that come during that time of asking cannabis for vision to travel back with you into this level of the many levels of reality.
Yes. Well, let's speak of portals. The word metaphor means to carry across, right? To carry across that from backstage to onstage. You know, metaphor is the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world, whatever we offer as templates. And so we go, that's really great. So the beautiful Celtic word for mugwort that you just invoked. And then in Ukrainian, of course, the word for mugwort is Chernobyl. Max Dashu has as much to say, and we've done shows on this, which is important. Again, where there's strife, go underneath to the guiding plants and the guiding myths underneath that. And again, it's sort of like the abuse of the thing. Chernobyl, it's meant to be a beautiful thing. No, not a nuclear meltdown. Oh, you humans. God. And so more dreaming humans is required to dream. Neptune says, if we can, or actually it's Reverend Ike says, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. We go, all right, there we go with the mugwort there. And then, just okay, we're in our we've got plenty of time here to cavort with many things. But so I also love that, on the vernal equinox. So the moon is the deer with folded horns, the animistic part of all of us, the participatory. Yeah, and to sing the two-state solution into being, is would be good too. And it's like it's part of a pro. Okay, first two states and then eventually no states. Oh, there we go,
Right.
dissolve all the borders. There we go. It's like two states is it's like that will do, One state and then no state, that long-term vision, but here we go, inch by inch, not to frighten anybody. Here we go. There we go. So that's a good thing to sing in, and then as we're preparing for the solar eclipse of April 8th, some people will be journeying to see it. I will too, in Lampasas, Texas, where totality will be 4 minutes and there's a festival symbiosis, right? But I didn't notice that they'd invited me to participate, so I'm free range this year. Okay, why not? Which is an interesting thing about what groups to be a part of and all, but that's another story over there. And there is many things, if we think of doorways through which to invite thing, but also cauldrons, and a cauldron to alleviate the terrible cauldron, Arishta Dean writes, something is happening in the Arctic and it's not good. There's a picture. That's methane boiling out of the Siberian Sea. It's a giant red cloud on the earth. Like, whoa, it started on Thursday, March 7th, a week ago, right? And you can find out more by Googling that, atmosphere.copernicus.eu, methane forecasts. But yeah, methane boiling out of the Siberian Sea. It's like, our joy is heavy. We must be aware, and in a sense, we go, well, that's a cauldron, a human made, irreverent cauldron. So cauldrons, to address cauldrons, again, how can we, backstage cooperate with the earth, going, we've had terrible manners, we've had terrible manners, we want to be good. Some of us were trying to be good as a human rogue species, can we negotiate to make some of the horror that we humans are imposing on all of our kin metaphoric rather than literal? It's again, when Edgar Cayce predicted a great tidal wave that would hit America East Coast in the early 1970s, and what we got was Watergate, right? So it's like, can we make it metaphoric? And I kind of envision, we go and we go, oh fire, oh. Methane boiling out of the Siberian Sea. We've been very rude. Can we negotiate? And I think backstage goes, all right, you humans, what are you putting on the table? what is your vow? If this, then that. And I think it's a powerful time, all moments in time really await our dedication, to invite in that we can be our best selves, and that, the inner dedication magnetizes outward opportunity, that we can do actual tangible good in the world, but it starts in the invisible, right? And we have these portals and these doorways, and as our ancestors knew, when we don't know what to do, invite in what does, right? And that's, part of your dynamic, right?
Absolutely. For me, whenever I can't imagine the way forward or imagine the way out or imagine the way in or imagine whatever way is required, and human counsel among living kin doesn't seem to guide me there, then it's time to go to the wild kindred, to the plants and the animals and the stars and the stones and the waters and the fungi, and also to go to the ancient ancestors whose ways of living were so different from ours that they can offer some imaginings of ways outside our framework, and to those descendants who know the story of how it was that we survived this time. Mm-hmm. And just as we sing our thanks back to the ancestors, I've been more and more asking the descendants, please, when you're gathered around your council fires on these sacred days, can you sing loudly enough back to us the stories of what we did that allowed the transformation, so that we can remember how.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, whom I bet we could cajole into being part of our March 19th event, perhaps. Yes?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. All right. So join Amakayla Gaston and me, and we're cajoling Sean Patrick O'Donohue to cahoot with us on March 19th by Zoom, Equinox, woofiness, poetry and music and drumming and chanting and the Orishas to offer ourselves to the best possibilities available. CoyoteNetworkNews.com for more and to register for that. Thanks always to Kirsten Thomas. There's so many things, and we will do much on the eclipse magic coming, and so many things to avail ourselves of. It's a dangerous time. Next week will be Erica Geis at my guest. Water always wins. There we go. Woof, woof, woof. Thank you, team. We will convene on Tuesday if you join us, and next Thursday, of course. Woof.